The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I just said to Nicole, right before we went on the air, I really like today's show. This doesn't even make The Big Lead today, but I just heard in Lisa's newscast that Amazon pulling out of New York City has shocked people in the tech community. I played you clips a couple of days ago. I'll play it again in the fastest 15 an hour from now. The day Amazon announced New York City, I said they were nuts. I said it was a baffling decision. I said they're trading Shama Sawant for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And why in the world, when you had all these cities in more friendly governmental, perspectives that were bidding for you, why in the world would you go to the nut house that is New York City from the nut house that is Seattle politically? When you have a bunch of anti-capitalist Marxists who are running things. I'll play you the clips. I said it the day they announced on November 18th. We'll do that in the fastest 15. But no, I am not the least bit surprised that Amazon pulled out of New York City. And the fact that these Marxists are celebrating it, they're just going to send business elsewhere. That's what happens in a competitive society. And it just means a lot of people who could have gotten good jobs will not. Okay, but that's all prelude. Because I'm pretty fired up here as we get into the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So a couple of weeks ago, a baker in Edmonds. He's been running the Edmonds Bakery for decades. His name's Ken Bellingham. He was making cookies. His daughter-in-law, who's kind of conservative, was back. And he was just writing little goofy messages on the cookies. And one of the goofy messages he wrote to amuse his daughter-in-law, he wrote, "Build that wall." And then he puts the cookie out in the case. Just a little ha-ha-ha. Being silly. Well, a customer saw the cookie, posted the picture on social media. The baker was roundly condemned. He had protesters who wanted his economic devastation, his ruination, because of three words on a cookie. He also had a lot of people who came from all over to buy that cookie. And he started making more because he said, and he came on with me after initially declining our invitations. And I said, "Why'd you finally come on?" He goes, "Because it is so unfair what is happening to me." Well, I will tell you what happened last night with a governmental organization in Edmonds. It's frightening that this is where we are with government around here. Where government gets to decide. We have this thing called the First Amendment where government cannot abridge free speech. The Edmonds Diversity Commission, they released a statement about the Build That Wall cookie. Like, this commission is so useless that they have nothing better to do than release statements about cookies. Here's what they wrote. "A couple weeks ago, our community was negatively impacted by a business owner's choice to spread a divisive and, for some, hurtful message. While we are aware that speech is protected by our First Amendment, words have consequences. Words can be hurtful and divisive, but can also unite, embrace, and welcome people into a community. Many of our local Edmonds merchants have risen as shining examples of how positive messages can bring a community together. These businesses have chosen to promote kindness, love, and compassion by exhibiting thoughtful window displays, donating to organizations, and hosting community engagement events. We hope that more businesses and community members will continue to promote these values. The Diversity Commission is committed to working with the city in our ongoing efforts to promote a more inclusive and welcoming community. So in other words, don't get me wrong. I love the town of Edmonds. It's a fantastic community. But in other words, a bunch of small town bureaucrats who have somehow got appointed to the Orwellian sounding diversity commission, they've decided to condemn a business owner because he wrote three words on a cookie. Oh, I would love to talk to the diversity commission. Nicole, have you reached out to the Edmonds Diversity Commission on behalf of our show?
I have.
And?
Well, the person in charge is on vacation for a couple weeks.
But they released the statement last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and
that's the only person who could talk?
Well, that's the person that I'm being referred back to. And then I was able to leave a message for his assistant, I believe.
Okay.
So I haven't heard back from her yet. On if there's anyone else.
So we're trying to get the Diversity Commission to come on. But let me explain to you how dangerous this is. When the government gets to decide what speech is acceptable and what speech should be condemned with a statement. Like I said, we're talking about some small town bureaucrats and some nonsense commission here. And here's my challenge to them. To the Edmonds Diversity Commission, I would challenge you to sit down face to face with an angel mom or an angel dad. I'd challenge you, would you sit down face to face with a parent whose child has been murdered by an illegal immigrant? Because many, if not most, of those angel parents, they support building a wall because they have suffered the greatest tragedy a human being can endure, having their children murdered by an illegal. Would you, Edmonds Diversity Commission, would you sit down with an angel parent who believes that we should build a wall, and would you tell them that their words are divisive and hurtful? Would you have the guts to do that? I'm guessing not. You just condemn a baker, and then you hide when somebody in the media wants to challenge you on this, because that's what leftist bureaucrats do. And beyond that, Diversity Commission, government should play no role in telling members of the public, members of the community, citizens of America, what speech is acceptable and what speech is condemnable. Because that is a dangerous and scary. Your little token, while we understand there's a First Amendment, but words have consequences. So in other words, do I have to, before I do my show every day, should I run my thoughts past the Edmonds Diversity Commission and make sure that I don't say anything that's hurtful or divisive? You going to try to regulate that? You going to issue statements? Because, you know, Cairo Radio, we've got a really strong signal. And it's you can't block it at the Edmonds city limits. The FM signal, it seeps over that border. And it gets into Edmonds. Are you going to release a statement condemning me every time I'm hurtful and divisive? Is that the role of government? And who told you when you got appointed to the Edmonds Diversity Commission? Who told you that that was a proper role of government? To evaluate the speech of private taxpaying citizens and to issue statements if you government bureaucrats don't like it. This is where we are, particularly here in the Puget Sound area, where government has decided that it should be our alpha and omega. The government gets to decide what we can say. They'll slap us on the wrist if we don't say it the way they want us to say it. So, standing offer, we've been contacting the Diversity Commission. We've been trying to get them on the show. Would love to do so. And come on, let's have at it. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what the role of government is in a nation guided by the First Amendment, where government shall not abridge free speech. Tell me all about that, would you? Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And then we take you to Burien, where, as you may have heard the last couple of days, there was a random shooting. A 22-year-old guy was walking his dog with, I believe, his sister and a friend. And a 23-year-old guy came up, asked him for weed. When they said he didn't have any, the 23-year-old guy shot and killed the 22-year-old. And what we've been hearing now for 2 days is that this was a random shooting. And Cairo TV had a great story, great report on this. And I wanted to just kind of walk through this random shooting because, you know, I've talked a lot about Burien. Horrible gang problem, horrible drug problem, horrible illegal problem. Okay, so here's what we know about the random shooting in Burien.
It was just an innocent bystander that got shot.
Not wanting to show their faces out of fear for retaliation, a very distraught family of 22-year-old Ed Lopez say he had bigger dreams that would have taken him away from his hometown. Instead, he was shot and killed last night at Puget Sound Park at 9:30 last night.
We're at the wrong place at the wrong time.
These two women, one of them his sister, were with him walking their dog through the park when they say a man confronted them when they got back into their car. He asked them if they had weed. Lopez responded no, and the suspect pulled out a gun.
Okay. So instead of, I mean, there are weed shops. I was down in Burien driving around a couple of months ago. There are weed shops everywhere. So why wouldn't you just go buy some weed? Why would you go up to a stranger? It's a random shooting. Why would you go up to a stranger and ask them for weed and then just pull out a gun, shoot, and kill them? That just strikes me as a very weird random shooting.
He shot twice. Yeah. There was no reason for him to shoot twice. He could have just shot one time.
That is one of the strangest sound bites I've ever heard from one of the loved ones of the victim there. That, why did he shoot him twice? He could have just shot him one time. I'm thinking that if I was the loved one and somebody randomly murdered a member of my family, I'm trying to imagine telling the media, why'd they shoot him twice? Why not just once? That's just, you know, it's a very, very weird soundbite to me.
He shot twice. Yeah. There was no reason for him to shoot twice. He could have just shot one time.
Detectives say the suspect then got into a vehicle and was driven away a couple of blocks and dropped off. That's when alert patrolmen noticed him and arrested him. King County detectives found a handgun nearby. The sheriff's office identified Adolph Fay, 23 years old, as a suspect. This is a previous booking photo.
Okay. And they show a picture of Adolph Fay. And parents, don't name your kid Adolph. Nobody thinks of the meat tenderizer when they hear Adolph. And just don't do that. But they show a booking photo, a previous booking photo of Adolph. He's got a big neck tattoo. And by the way, parents, don't let your kids get neck tattoos because those often seem to lead to trouble too. So that's the guy who did the shooting here.
Fay has several criminal convictions, including an assault and robbery he pled guilty to. His sentencing note says being a convicted felon precludes him from having any type of gun.
We just wanted to leave, go home, because we just, like, walk the dog.
Ed Lopez's family say family in Mexico is unable to come back for a planned funeral. They now want justice for the young man who worked at the Seattle Wheel and had dreams of becoming an electrician.
He got along with everyone.
Everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. I don't know why this had to happen to him.
Okay, it's a very sad story for the loved ones. But that does not sound like a random shooting. And I've heard this for 2 days now, and the media outlets have to say that because that's what the cops are telling them. But does random shooting, does that sound better from a PR standpoint than, you know, is it gang related? Is it drug related? Is it related to illegals? I don't know. But it doesn't sound random to me at all. And since everybody else is reporting what the police have told them, and if you're a journalist, that's what you got to do. But I have a little more license. That does not sound like a random shooting to me. And we have some breaking news that is just coming into us here on The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
We are just hearing that President Trump is going to declare a national emergency to build a border wall. He is going to sign that compromise spending legislation. And that spending legislation, it only included about $1.3 billion for 55 miles of wall. But the breaking news just coming in, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, he says the Senate is going to vote 6 minutes from now at 12:30 Seattle time. The House is set to vote later this evening on that's a compromise spending bill. But Mitch McConnell has just said on the Senate floor, President Trump will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time. I indicated to him I'm going to support the national emergency declaration. So that is the breaking news just coming into us. I will tell you, I think this is a very dangerous and dicey approach for President Trump to be taking. Not because I don't support a border wall. I do. But it provides precedent when a Democrat gets control of the White House, when Jay Inslee, when President Inslee 3 years from now wants to declare a national emergency because of climate change. Now, you can make a far more compelling argument that illegals, the drugs, the crime that have been attendant with illegals is a far more pressing matter than climate change, which is so made up in so many ways. But I think there's a dangerous precedent. So, the Senate's about to vote in 5 minutes. The president will declare a national emergency. We're going to keep you posted on this. That's the big lead. Much more to come. We are keeping a very close eye on the breaking news that is just coming in here on the Dory Monson Show, Cairo Radio. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that the compromise spending bill that will avert another government shutdown, that Donald Trump has told him he will sign that compromise bill. Now, as recently as a half hour ago, we were hearing that the president was wavering on whether he would sign that bill. But Mitch McConnell just minutes ago said the president will sign that bill, but he is also going to declare a national emergency because of the human smuggling and the drug smuggling and the porous southern border, and that he will use that national emergency to declare that the wall must be built. Now, that will mean a long legal battle. But that is what we are being told, that Mitch McConnell has just said that President Trump will sign the spending bill. The Senate's about to vote on it any minute now, and then the House will, and then the president would sign it, and Donald Trump will declare a national emergency to get more funding for a border wall. We will keep you very up to the second on that breaking news as it unfolds this afternoon. The story I was talking about right at the beginning of the show today, a little small town bureaucratic commission, the Edmonds Diversity Commission, has decided to condemn a business owner in Edmonds because he wrote, and this goes right with our breaking news, he wrote, "Build that wall on a cookie." The owner of the Edmonds Bakery is Ken Bellingham, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Ken, it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, Dory.
Did you have any idea, Ken, when you wrote three words on a cookie that it would get you nationwide attention, and then weeks later, a little slap on the wrist from the Diversity Commission?
Yeah. You know, this has been an interesting journey. I thought things would have settled down by now, and then this comes up, and I'm a bit surprised because I should be getting support from the city and not criticism. I'm not negatively impacting anybody. In fact, my business is really done well, and I think I brought a lot of people to town which wouldn't ordinarily be here, you know, if they hadn't come for the cookie.
It's just incredible.
I'm scratching my head on this one.
Well, it is such an overreach of government because while they pay a token mention to the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. But clearly this Diversity Commission has decided that it's their role to judge what free speech is acceptable and what free speech should get a government reprimand. And when you have a bunch of small town bureaucrats on some little commission deciding what's acceptable and what is condemnable speech, I think that's a really scary overreach of government, Ken.
It is. I question what their role is in the government. I mean, do they need something to do besides, you know, give us direction on how to run a business, you know? It's just crazy.
Well, it is. And here's what I mentioned this at the top of my show today. I would love the members of the Diversity Commission, I would love to see them sit face-to-face with an angel mom or dad whose child was murdered by an illegal. And I would love to see them say, most of whom support building a wall. And I would love to see the Edmonds Diversity Commission tell those parents who have lost children that their words wanting more security for this country are hurtful and divisive. I wonder if the Diversity Commission would have the guts to do that with an angel parent.
I wonder that myself. That's a good proposition.
Yeah.
Ask them.
Well, I've been trying, and we've been reaching out since the beginning of the morning to get somebody from the Diversity Commission to come on the show, and I would love to get that question answered. And this is, you know, one of the real problems is these bureaucrats, they don't want to ever be challenged. They just want to, you know, put out their little statement condemning you and then face absolutely no contrary views on it. And I just think that is, I think it's a dangerous approach for government to take.
Well, just what they said in their own little spiel there, you know, words have consequences. I believe they have some consequences themselves in stating such a thing, you know?
Well,
so, you know, and I've been advised by my friends who say, just don't answer any of the criticism you get on Facebook. Let us take care of it. So I've got a gang of people here that are really on my side, and they're doing all my answering for me. And I really appreciate it.
Well, they went on to say in this statement that many of our local Edmonds merchants have risen as shining examples of how positive messages can bring a community together. Now, why do you laugh when I read that?
Shining examples. I think they're talking about the cheesemonger. He came out with a cookie that says, build the love or something like that in response to my cookie.
wait a second. You got a cheese? I hadn't heard about that.
The baker. We don't have a butcher, but...
So you got a cheesemonger in Edmonds who is writing competing cookie messages with Edmonds Bakery.
Right. Yes.
Well, now we really have devolved into the comedy of the absurd.
Really?
You told me last time we talked, you told me that every year you go with your church to work in orphanages and other communities in need down in Mexico.
I'm going down next March, or this March on the 14th to the 18th.
So what is, in all seriousness, Ken, knowing how you live your life, what is it like, based on three words on one cookie a few weeks ago, and I know that you've made many more of those cookies because of demand since then, but what is it like to have a government commission judge your, I mean, they talk about how the people who have opposite messages are a shining example, meaning you must be a shining example of negativity and dividing a community. I mean, that certainly is implied in their letter here.
Yeah. Well, I've been asking customers who are coming into the shop asking for this cookie. I said, you guys must not agree with what the hateful message that I'm writing on it. And they say, no, we're not at all. You know, it's not hateful to us. It's we need security, you know, and it's on a cookie and we think it's fun, you know?
Yeah, it was just, it started off as just silliness by you and just for fun. And it turns into this. Okay, well, that's my challenge. And since they have not responded to our calls and emails, I would love to have somebody on the Diversity Commission sit across from an angel parent whose child has been murdered by an illegal, and I would love for you to tell them that their desire for a wall is hurtful and divisive. Let's see if anybody on the Edmonds Diversity Commission has the guts to do that.
Let's see about that.
Okay. All right. I will await their response. Ken, all my best to you. It's Edmonds Bakery, and I know you're getting a lot of support, too. So
we're all across the community, you know, really a lot of support. And this has been our best year so far.
Nice. Okay. Well, hang in there. I appreciate you coming back on with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
You have a great day.
You do the same. Ken Bellingham, he's the owner of the Edmonds Bakery. And we've gotten an updated statement since we called the Diversity Commission to see if they will come on. So I'll share that with you. Also, we are following some breaking news this afternoon. Nancy Pelosi is speaking right now. And she says, if you are just joining us, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, has said that President Trump will sign the spending bill that will avert a second government shutdown, but that President Trump is going to declare a national emergency to build a more extensive border wall than what is funded in that spending bill. So already the Democrats are just going berserk. Nancy Pelosi says he's doing an end run around Congress, that there is no national emergency at the border. And this is going to be an interesting afternoon. So we'll keep you posted on that. If there's any live news coming out of the Capitol or the White House, we'll bring that to you. It is turning into a very busy news afternoon. And I have you covered here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm just going through all your messages on the Online Trading Academy text line from the 425. Forget about having the Edmonds Diversity Commission sit down with angel parents. Have them sit down with any parent who has a son or daughter who's been affected by heroin, which streams across our unchecked southern border. That's a great, great point. From the 206, Dory, would they have issued the same statement if the cookie had said, Trump, don't build that wall? That's from Mike in Kent. No, they wouldn't have. Because this government agency, this bureaucracy, this committee will decide what speech is acceptable. and what speech will be reprimanded. And then somebody else asked me, from the 206, could the bakery owner take legal action against the city of Edmonds? If I were him, I don't think he wants the hassle of that, having just talked to him. I would seriously consider that. The government is trying to harm an individual's business because he exercised his free speech rights. And look, we have that in Seattle all the time. Seattle hates capitalism. Seattle hates anything that isn't socialist Marxist right now. You got Shama Swant standing up screaming about how Bezos is a criminal. But this isn't Amazon. This is a single proprietor baker who's been operating, I think he said, for 26 years in Edmonds, providing tax revenues. And they targeted him. And they've released an updated statement that is as blatant a lie. I'll share that with you a little bit later. I've spent enough time on the idiocy of this small town commission. Let's get to Seattle now. I've let Seattle off the hook for my entire show so far this afternoon. So Jenny Durkin, we had sound bites during our newscast yesterday. And Jenny Durkin was telling residents of Seattle what they should do last night.
It's really important for people to, if you are home with the kids and the kids are old enough, get them out with you shoveling the sidewalks.
Okay. She's telling all the citizens of Seattle, grab a shovel, go shovel the sidewalk tonight.
And it'd be a great time for neighbors and neighborhoods, if you're home in the neighborhood, to get together, get those shovels, and get them cleared. Because after the hard freeze tonight, it'll be much harder to clear those sidewalks, and the freezing ice will be a much more difficult condition.
Okay. King 5 had a story, and they had pictures of this, too. You know what Seattle DOT was doing on Monday and Tuesday? They had a snowplow plowing the bicycle lane or the bicycle lanes downtown. The Seattle Department of Transportation uses skid steers or skid loaders, which are four-wheel vehicles with a shovel on the front. They used one and rented four more to clear bicycle lanes during the storm. Now, as you know, I've done more than my fair share of bicycle riding, including urban riding in the city of Seattle. I would love to know what the count was on the bike lanes on Monday and Tuesday, because you would have to be suicidal in the middle of a snow and ice storm to ride your bicycle around downtown Seattle. And yet, Seattle DOT, run by Sam Zimbabwe, if that's his real name. So Seattle DOT, they're using one and renting four little bike lane snowplows. For what? Nobody in their right mind would have been riding their bike earlier this week in downtown Seattle. You hit a patch of ice, you're done. So while they're telling the citizens, the taxpayers, grab your shovel, do your part, and yet they do nonsense for the bike lanes. It's unbelievable. Fast 15 next.